Well, something's happening here today. And thank God for Brother Melvin Watts. I'll introduce him soon. But we're going we're gonna just have fun today. That's all. But anyway, I just want to start with prayer. And I'd just like, Dad, if he would just bless this gathering here today.
And Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here today. We pray blessing upon them, and that the glory of God be released upon them in the name of Jesus. Bless our food, need of our body, and let us journey through the path of life. Amen.
Amen. So, God bless you. You can start down here and just enjoy the journey. Love you, brother.
I love you too, Pastor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out. Amen. Truly a privilege and an honor to be yet in the house of the Lord. Give an honor to God. First and foremost, my pastor, Pastor Wanda Hargrove. Amen. 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 You're allowed to clap. Amen. Pastor Weaver and Grace Chapel, his father and their family. Amen. Pastor Ross and the other clergy in the house. My wife, Deaconess Watts. Amen.
I don't know if this is on or not.
It's on. Amen. But truly, I just thank God for this opportunity. And I know that we all have a testimony, but I thank God for allowing me yet today to be able to give mine again. Never forget where God has brought me yet from. There have actually been times when I tried to sit down on my testimony, but God reminded me, said, hold up, wait a minute. It was I that brought you through what I allowed you to go through. There are those that didn't make it. I said, my God, let me humble myself. And when I get the opportunity to be able to tell someone what God has done for me. And I've been up ever since Pastor Weaver invited me. We actually met some years ago. Him and I and the brother here, we were on Teen Challenge Advisory Committee with Brother Don Cook. Amen. So we thank God for that. We did a lot of great work in the street, ministering, evangelizing. Thank God for that. Also, I was sharing with Pastor Ross that Mother Jenkins, she died some years ago from Maryland, was 102 years old, used to go around the world, the nations, and work in warfare. She used to stay in this place, very anointed, holy ground. So we thank God for that as well. I humble myself and I pray and ask God to lead me, because over 30-something plus years of drug addiction, I can't tell my whole story. And flesh has to be denied that the Spirit can lead me and to say what He would have me to say, not what I would want to say. So I thank God for that as well. As being this morning on the prayer line, I was just blessed by some of the prayers that had went forth this morning, and to stay grounded in the Word of God. I thank God for each and every one of you and your support. I thank God for my wife, first and foremost. Never give up on no one. Never give up on a loved one. And what I'm saying today about that is, when I was out there in the world, God delivered me from 30-plus years of drug addiction. Brother Dawson, one of my classmates, you don't even know this part of my story. A lot of people don't, because I used to live a life of Jekyll and Hyde. Some people, they remember me from school, but there was some time that went through that they don't know the other side of my story. But I thank God, because He brought me back to where I had left from. And then there are those that only know that part of my story, the dark side. Amen. But I thank God for my wife, and I was saying on the prayer line this morning, my wife has the gift of faith. My wife grew up Catholic. At the time, back in 2007, when I left here and used to spend time with my uncle, Pastor Ross, and I found myself on his doorsteps early in the morning on Sunday mornings after being out weeks and weeks, and he would take me home and feed me and ask me if I want to go to Bible study and things of that nature. He was in the church at that time. He has his own story. But he never turned me away. It was times that my family didn't understand drug addiction in the early 80s. When the epidemic came, a lot of people didn't understand crack cocaine. I remember being one of the first members of First Step program in Harrisburg on Cameron Street behind the Goodwill. I used to leave the projects on Cameron Street with my stuff and hide it by the dumpster and go in there and stay 7 days because they thought it was a detox. But there was no such thing as detox for crack cocaine. It was really new. It was an epidemic. So in all these years, I would get cleaned up, eat, look good on the outside, get healthy, come outside, go where I stash my stuff, and go right back into projects. For years, the same thing. I'm a union carpenter, 20-plus years. Did a lot of work at TMI, a lot of bridge work, a lot of stores. I'm still there now. I'm going on the downside. At that time, I was living a double life. Some of my coworkers knew the change, but they chose not to say nothing to me about it. I didn't find out later that some of them recognized. They knew at different times because my character, my demeanor would be different whether I recognized it or not. Some of the jobs I've been on, especially dealing with nuclear, I was red badge going to the reactor. Very sensitive job, and you cannot be high on drugs going into a nuclear reactor, less known doing heavy structures bridge work where you put other people's lives in jeopardy as well as your own. They have zero tolerance for mistakes. TMI, if you can remember Chernobyl's in Russia, and you remember TMI back in the 70s when they had the meltdown and things of that nature, they had what they call a fit for duty. In other words, if I go to work with you and I'm used to going to the work with you daily and I look at you and your eyes look wrong or your demeanor's different, or you look etchy or sketchy, I can report you. You got, no matter where you at on that island, you got less than 5 minutes to get yourself down to that medical facility and have a whole body treatment or skin or urine or hair follicle test. If you're found positive, you're no longer allowed on no nuclear power plant. They also had a raffle every day, a lottery that your Social Security number would come up. So dealing with all that and not drinking coffee can or thermos like I had coffee because I would have other people's urine inside of it. Trying to keep it warm to pass a piss test if by happen chance they call me, or I worked on the heavy highway and DOT would pull over and everybody on the job site got to come up and have a urine test. I used to wear pantyhose and girdles and things of that, trying to get past the test, trying to out-slick the test. Sometimes the drugs seemed not to be that bad. It was that test, trying to get ready in that test because I knew if I got caught, that would be it. Going in restrooms and sitting there, and you can't close the door because somebody's watching you. Then they would put a certain color of dye in the urine because if you try to mess with it, it would taint the water. I used to deal with all that stuff, just trying to keep a job. For years and years, I would deny going to a treatment facility because I said in my mind that I had to be there for my wife when really I was never there. I would say I need my job. I got to take care of bills. And every year, it seemed like it got worse and worse and worse. I remember 07. I've been to numerous rehabs. I've been to rehabs where my insurance would cover the best was Willows in Naples, Florida, where I was down there where Phyllis Hyman and celebrities and athletes would go, to some of the raunchiest where my insurance was no longer in void and they would have a place. That some of them I've been in twice. The place would be so dirty when you take a shower, you just wanted to stand in the middle, you would just cringe because it was so dirty. They talk about opiates now that affects a lot of people. But when I was in Europe years ago, heroin been out. Heroin been killing people. It's just now that it's become a place where it's affecting people who they thought it would not affect. They had it contained years ago in the early 70s and 60s. They put it in the neighborhood, but now it then got out of control. Because I was involved in the system when they tried to close the doors because they would cut government funding because they said people use it as a revolving door. I've been to Cadenzia inpatient, outpatient. I've been to Concept Night. I've been to the Roxbury. I've been to New Insight. I've been to so many rehabs. I know the gyro. I know the language. I know the dopamine. I know the euphoria. I could teach the class. I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been to Narcanon. I've been to Narcotic Anonymous. I've been to Al-Anon. I've been to Cocaine Anonymous. I've been to whatever anonymous they had. If it was a triple A on it, I had it. I went to morning workshops in churches with cigarette cans outside, but you can say the God of my understanding, but you can't say Jesus. I've been to firehouses. I had the keys. I've opened the programs. I used to do the donuts. I used to go to 3 programs a day. I used to go to everyone on the East Shore. I used to go to everyone on the West Shore, all the way down Mechanicsburg, Trundle Road, all those churches over there. I've been to them. I've been to every program they had. Till one day. I shared with you, I worked at TMI. I remember one day, 2 friends of mine, I just got up from my job and left. Just left. At one time, TMI used to be open. You can drive in, you go around by the cooling towers, you see buses and kids coming by. They would show the kids the different cooling towers and how they were made. But then after 9/11, they became high security. But I remember coming on the hill and got 2 of my friends, and I came back on the back, the south gate, and I came in. I brought these guys off the street on the island. I got up, left, went on the hill. I used to walk around 13th Street, 13th and Market with my tool belt on. My tool belt. I'm a carpenter. With my tool belt on, with my hanger hanging, all messed up on drugs. I used to break in houses and steal copper, walking down the street with a 40-foot ladder and another brother on the end in broad daylight. My wife know. Some of you know. Some of you have been with me. Some of the brothers here know that I'm not lying. They have some of the same testimony. But I remember one day, after being out weeks and weeks, all the cops knew me. They knew Elder Watts. I wasn't Elder Watts then, but they knew Brother Watts. It wasn't Brother Watts. It was Crackhead, Dope Fiend, the one who always lent his car out and called up and say somebody stole it. And they would put bolos out, and they told me, the next time you do that, brother, we know that you got a dope fiend, and we're going to lock you up. I remember being out on Regina one Sunday. There's something strange here because I remember years coming up and respecting God's grounds. Or just what I'm saying is not even going by church property if I was high or intoxicated, not even to take a leak. Would cross the streets. Pastor Ross and I talk about that all the time. But yet I found myself one day on 13th and Derry, behind the church cross from the Olympics, smoking crack on the back steps. I knew then I done crossed the line. I come home, I've been out on 13th, on Regina, and I had been out for weeks. Not that I had to live like that, but I was bound by this addiction and I didn't understand the disease. I was walking down Regina Street. I used to be so ashamed and so embarrassed. People used to call my wife and say, you need to come get your husband. He's on the street. He's really doing bad. He's down on 13th Street. He's about to fall out. He's malnutrition. He looks like he hasn't ate or nothing like that. I remember a brother, George Manigault, I called my angel. One Sunday, he came from New Hope. He said he came down 13th Street there by Regina, and I was walking with a brother, had been out all week. Hadn't took a bath, I hadn't brushed teeth, had spent all my money, hadn't went home. Years and years of doing this and said I wouldn't do it no more. There was no loyalty, no trust, no honesty. I have letters I carry to this day of my kids when they was very small. I used to draw on crayon, Dad, please, please stop doing drugs. They would draw the skeleton and the bones. They said, Dad, you promised us. You done stole the Christmas money. You just took our birthday. But we don't care, Dad. Stop, Dad. You need help. They would put it in my lunchbox. And when I would go to work and open it, that's what I would see. And I still carry them today when I go out in the street and evangelize. But Brother George said, he called me. And when he called me, I turned and looked back, me and the gentleman I was walking with. And he said, no, Melvin, just you. He said, Melvin, what are you doing out here? I said, what it look like? I was very nasty, very biased. That spirit was in me. The Bible speaks of legion, for we are many, demonic spirits. And he said, "Where your car?" I said, "You know where it's at." He said, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm not going to give you no money, but I'll take you to get something to eat." We went and got some chicken. He said, "Man, I'll take you home if you want to go." I said, "No, I'm not going home because I'm going to get my car back. As soon as I get it back, I'm going to rent it out again." Years and years I used to do that. I'd rent my mom's car out. It got total crashed. I used to tie the doors together after they were buckled open from an accident and still rent it out. Somebody was still renting out for drugs. Some of my cars that I've rented out, people have robbed banks. People have, to the point, almost murdered people. People have hit senior citizens and kept going. I had to go to court behind things that were done in my cars. People have tore my cars completely up, ripped the headliner out, took ketchup and mustard screw all in it, tore all my, I'd have lost over thousands and thousands of tools that people have done and just misused my vehicles. At this time, my insurance and stuff was in my wife's name, and I still would put people at jeopardy. But Brother Manigault said to me, he said, "I don't know why I came down here after church on Sunday, but God had me just to drive down here." He said, "Melvin, I know you, and this ain't you." He said, "I have a number that I've been trying to give brothers, but no one want to leave Harrisburg." He said, "I'm going to offer you this number, and your life will never be the same." And how I know, because I went through it, and so did my wife. So he said, "You got something to write on?" And I had a match pack. Not a lighter, a match pack. He wrote the number on. He let me out. I didn't go home. I got my car. I rented it out again. I didn't go home till days later. I would go home, and I often use this analogy. I have an aquarium even yet to the day in our house. That my house was so cold. That the plants looked like they didn't have no life. When you tap on the fish tank, how they would come to the glass, when I would do it, they wouldn't come. I was so angry and biased, I would go home. I slept for 2 or 3 days. Why my wife still was there, I don't know. Why my wife still was there, I don't know. I sold everything out of my house, our furniture. I shared the other day my wedding band off my back, off my hand. I stole clothes and coats in the cold winter that I've been outside on 13th and Redondo in that area of Ellison Hill, that people wanted my clothes more than me, and I would sell them off my body. I've been outside in the snow in flip-flops looking for crack cocaine in the snow. But I remember after I was so mad and hadn't bought no food in the house and just bitter and nasty and talking to my wife any kind of way, and some of those rehabs I told you about, and if it weren't for her, I would have never went, because she would do all the work calling and finding out and getting insurance. And the number that Brother George gave me was a number to Bishop I.V. Hilliard in Houston, Texas. That program no longer in existence. I graduated class 117. At that time, Bishop I.V. Hilliard had got a vision from God. Early 80s, the epidemic of crack cocaine started. One of the members of the church, his wife, pulled up and kicked him out at the door and pulled off. And from that point on, God spoke to him, and he opened Life Change Institute for Men and Women. The number with my wife, when I finally woke up that Monday, she had the phone, and she said, "Here, someone want to speak to you on the phone." And I asked who was it. She said, "Just get on the phone." My insurance had run out at this time. The system, because of I didn't have insurance, and I had a job, you stuck in a situation at times when you've got a job, you don't need to go back in the program. You already been in the program. 28 days, 90 days, how many days? this day, that day. It's just a whole lot of red paperwork and a lot of nothing. Sometimes they don't even want you to get healed because it would put so many people out of jobs. So, the brother on the phone, name was Brother Massey. She gave me the phone, and I said, hello. He said, hello, how you doing? I said, hi, I'm doing all right. He said, first question, are you saved? I said, what do you mean, am I saved? He said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? I said, yeah, I believe. He said, brother, we got one bed, and it can be yours. At that time, I cursed profusely. I was on CPAP machine. I had sleep apnea. I smoked cigarettes. I was just a mess. He said, but you're going to have to take a physical, and you're going to have to get a one-way ticket. Not a two-way. Not a round trip. A one-way ticket. We do have a place. At that time, I didn't have no money. I hadn't been working, not doing nothing. And don't you know, as soon as the blessing comes, the devil gets busy. All of a sudden, I had all this money. I didn't have a physical. Our Hamilton Health Center was in effect. My wife, here she is again. You know, I shared on the prayer line this morning that my wife must have went to every pastor in Harrisburg and on the West Shore, because we still be out in different ones say, oh, that's your husband? That's the one we prayed for? That's the one we interceded for? That's the one she came to us and was talking about? That's the one? She would go walk and go to all these different ministries and have people to intercede in my behalf. And I never knew that till now, then it's still coming to full fruition, the work that she put in and never gave up on me. My mother done went home to glory. One of my brothers, my sister, but my wife never gave up on me. So he said, I got this money, and she found this doctor up at the Hamilton Health Center uptown, Dr. Williams. She explained that situation. He gave me a free physical. Tell you what God would do. I had this money. He gave me a free physical, but they wanted to give me one of them 24-hour HIV tests. The people at the ministry then, he said, no, we need at least a two-week one. So now I got this money, and I got 2 weeks to wait for this test to come back, and the devil getting busy. I'm getting antsy. And I said, well, if I go out, I'm going out with a bang. Careful what you say. I got all these plans what I'm going to do. I take this money, and I divide half. I said, well, a third, three-fourths I'm going to give to you, and this is mine. We riding around on the hill again, leave from still. That spirit comes upon me, I call monkey brain. I'm just fidgety, I can't keep still. I said, if you don't pull this car over, I'm going to jump out while you drive. She pulled over right there on 13th and Marbury. I jumped out, went to that little store, got my little tools. When they got my stuff, went to this house, and it was never the same. She said, I don't care what you do, but you better be ready. 9 o'clock tonight, be down at that bus station. I had the ticket. I never went back home. I went through that whole day. Went through these drugs, smoked all that stuff up. In the window of my head was like a ping pong ball. I kept calling her when she would answer. She kept saying, I'm coming. Time was going by. I'm in these people's house. And she never showed up. But when she showed up, she had all my clothes packed in this little bag. She had a cell phone with a card. She had packed all this perishable food for me to eat. And she took me straight down to the bus station. We had prayer. She said, Melvin, promise me you won't get off that bus. I ain't never been to Houston. I've been to Europe. I was in the service for 8 years. I've been a lot of places. But I've never been to Houston. But this time, I'm so messed up, I don't care where I go. I really need help. There's no more excuses. There's no more humility is sitting there. I got to go. I got to listen to somebody. I don't know it all. I need help, Lord. I thought in the rooms they tell you when you hit bottom. Bottom don't mean nothing. You can lose your house, job, car, and still have the drug in your hand. The Bible says a broken heart and a contrite spirit he will not despise. I became broken. I had become broken. He broke me down. I got on the bus. Now all the drugs is wearing off, or whatever I smoke, whether it be mothballs or drywall or ivory soap or whatever they gave me throughout that day, my mind was so messed up. Now whatever it was is wearing off. My body's aching. I called the number and I said, look, this is Brother Watson. I don't know if I went past my ride or my stop, but I ain't arrived yet. They said, well, brother, on your ticket is a departure and arrival date at the bottom. Look at it. So when I read it, I wasn't due to be in Houston another day or two. I said, you mean I still got to ride another day or two on the bus? They said, yes. They said, when you get to Houston, you're going to see a lot. You're going to see drug activity right in front of your face at the bus station. You're going to see it's a hub where all these state prisons and different transfer, they're going to be dressed in different colors. They got green, they got yellow, they got red, because this, it's a transfer hub from this federal prison, to this state prison. And when I got off the bus, I seen, this is what they said. It was drug activities right across the street from the bus station. It was a Kentucky Fried Chicken in there. It was so many different prison inmates with their little bags over them, and they were going in. But yet when I went inside, they said, and I said to them, I said, you said, go inside the Kentucky Fried Chicken and just wait. I said, yeah, we got you. I've never been to Houston. I go in, I have no name hanging on my back, on my front, but I see these two brothers. You talking about mighty men of valor. It's like I see two angels. I seen them and they seen me. They knew it was me, and I just knew it was them. They came to me and said, Brother, watch us. They said, Brother, watch. Two brothers, they got me, we put me in the van, got my stuff. We drove to where we were going. They said, hold up. We're going to get out. We're going to go in the facility. They said, amnesty. Take all the stuff out your pockets. We're going through this. No drugs, no lighters, no cigarettes, none of this. He said, and also now we come over here because you're not taking those evil spirits in this place. This is holy ground. And they prayed over me that God would come and cover me in his blood and those spirits would have to move. So I go into the facility. Big dorm, people from all over the world in this program. I'm still mad. Don't know what to expect with the outcome. I don't know nothing. Never been here before. So I'm up here and they give me a bunk. As I'm get ready to pull my stuff out, they see the CPAP machine. He said, brother, you didn't tell us you had sleep apnea. We might not have let you come here with that. I said, but hold up. They called the bishop. Bishop let him stay. So I used to have my machine hooked up in this bed with all these brothers from all over the world. And I had the one, the old one with the big mask on like you're a fighter pilot. And the brothers used to say, they used to stand watch over me at night to make sure it was all right. So I remember about 2 months went by. You go from, first of all, you fall in love with Jesus. Then you become a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of excellence, and a mighty man of valor. These are stages you go through. No TV, no newspaper, no folly, ain't no lock on the door. There are rules. You break them, you out. You can leave. The next morning, I'm in class, 24/7 Jesus. I have pictures. I'm in class, everyone's here, and the minister under the bishop comes in and introduced. We have a new brother here, Brother Watts, and everyone welcomed me. And he looked at me and said, "Brother, you ready for the warfare?" I said, "Excuse me, I'm already in hell." He kind of smiled. He said, "Man of God, grab your sword." I didn't know what a sword was. He said, "Your Bible." He said, "Turn to Ephesians 6:10." And Lord, when he started reading Ephesians, and different things started coming to me. I humbled myself that he gave me the 40 I Am's and the 15 Freedom Truths. We had to read those every day. We had praise and worship 3 times a day. We had our prayer room about 6 times a day, where you just go to your secret war room and pray unto God. And this went on day in, day out. Time came. The two brothers that picked me up, they were where I were at one time. Now, I went through the program. I met brothers there. I had so much in that period of time that God had taught me. I was over the food ministry. I was over the clothing ministry. I was on the praise and worship. I was a prayer warrior intercessor. All these things God had allowed me to deal with. I met brothers who seemed like I went to school with them, that I was raised with them in my same neighborhood, because I could hear one around the corner talking and I would go and I would say, "Man, you remind me of this brother." But I understand now it ain't you, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. When we get mad at people, it ain't them, it's the Spirit. God showed me that same Spirit that I left in Harrisburg was there in other people. I said, "My God. My God." The same characteristics, the same demonic spirit was in others. My. No wonder he told Elijah, "I got 7,000 more." Come on, somebody. So I'm here. And I'm moving on. Integrity, man of character. I'm growing. I'm growing in God. Staying humble. Doing what they say to do. Feeling better. Looking better. I remember one day, Satan eased back in. The Bible says, "Resist him, he'll flee." But he coming back. I give no place to him. And he attacked me I was still on the machine, and he tried to choke and take my breath, and I jump up. This place was ran by 12 ministers under the bishop, and I jumped up and I ran down into the foyer and the area where the new people, by this time I got some time in, and people are constantly coming in. So some of the new disciples or new converts are in, they're doing their chores, cleaning or whatever. And I go to the minister and I said, I can't breathe. Something ain't right. I said, I need to make a call. And I tried to call my wife. I couldn't reach her. She worked for hospice. I said, "Well, let me try to call my daughter. I'm not a quitter and I never quit nothing in my life. But that day I was ready to go back home." For what? But I couldn't reach my daughter. So as I grab my stuff and go back upstairs, the minister said, "Brother, can I pray for you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Brother Watts, do you love God?" I said, "Yeah, I love him." I remember he asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Had to ask him more than once. He said, "No, Are you intimate with God? I said, what? I only thought there was a man and a woman. He said, no. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, brother. So, he take me over in the overflow room. The brothers is cleaning. You know, we all nosy. New person coming in, what's going on? They cleaning up. He told one to grab the trash can like this. And he told him, bring it in the overflow room. He grabbed his gloves. He said, put a new trash bag in there. He grabbed his oil. He came in the room. Now, I'm standing there. He told me to stand over it. He over here. I'm like, now they peeping in the room. They peeping in the room. What's going on? See, people were from all over the world. Some never had a relationship with God. Some were stipulated through programs. Some who their wives had put them out. Some who were just messed up on jobs. People were there for all kind of reasons, but we all was messed up. Everybody wasn't there just for drugs. I had a brother who was in the military, was a murderer. And he had the spirit of murder on him. Different things that was going on. Everybody wasn't there for the same reason. But everybody had to be delivered from something. So I remember standing here, and he got to praying, and he put the oil on me. And I'm still, what's that going to do? And all of a sudden, he kept praying. And something, whoop. Whoop. I said, gee, what in the? Whoop. So, oh, what the? And it just came up, and this was like a perfect, whoa. Stench, the stink of that just come up out of me. Just, oh, it was just so nasty and foul and toxic. I said, Lord, Jesus, what? And it was on my mouth. I said, oh, my God, it just, the smell was so stink. And I was like this. And they looking at, they in the room, and I'm like this. And I said, he came to me. I'm looking at him. I said, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm all right now. He said, you all right? So he got it. So I said, I'm going back upstairs. I go back upstairs, and I get in my bed. As soon as I get in that bed, something tried to choke. I ran back down. They hadn't even got the trash can out good. They brung it back. He looked at me and pulled his arm to me, and I went out in the spirit. That was the sweetest sleep I ever had. That day, I stopped smoking cigarettes, no more sleep apnea, no more profanity. So the next day, that morning, I go down to where the minister, and I said, minister, what happened? He said, brother, watch, you were purged. All that lying, all that lust, all that drugs, all that cursory, all that stuff, God cleanse you. So I remember after that, and we getting our praise on, and I remember receiving the Holy Ghost and the heavenly gift of tongues. Glory. I remember receiving it in our praise and worship. And I said, wow, I'm moving on. God has me to do things. I'm doing things. I'm doing this. And now it's my time. Graduation's coming. It's my time to go to the bus station to pick up someone else. Brother Daniel coming in from Niagara Falls, New York. In the same place I was. Everybody didn't stay in the program. Some got kicked out. But if you yield yourself to God, if you humble yourself to God, God can do it, but he ain't going to go against your will. You have a will and a volition. If you yield to God and let God be God, God can change you. And I said, I remember being up there, and Brother Daniel come in. And before we come up in the big dorm and all these brothers, all these beds. And sometimes if you see Bishop Hilliard on TV now, even on Impact, some of them same beds they got in Love City. One of them beds was mine. But it's a big dormitory the same way. So I remember coming up, and brothers was being attacked that night. Man. The facility's huge. 20-something stalls in one bathroom, 20-something urinals. And I remember I come up on the floor, and I done moved up now. I'm going to a man of valor. And I go upstairs and say, okay, man, it's almost time, lights out. I said, who's time to pray tonight? They said, and I looked around the room and the brothers, and everybody looked to be challenged. And I looked over at Brother Daniel. He had been the last one to come in. And he had white stuff coming all out of his mouth. And a lot of these brothers, I mean, from Detroit, New York, Florida, Arkansas, I mean, wherever in the United States these brothers came from, black, white, it didn't matter, Puerto Rican. I said, oh, Lord, let me run down here. I run back down. Now, I ain't there yet. I ain't strong yet now. I run down with that minister. Something going on up on the floor. Told them brothers, grab the oil. Get some trash bags. Now, one of y'all go to that door and stand there. One of y'all go to this door because it was an exit and an entrance. And all y'all who just came in just start marching around the floor pleading the blood. So we finna go in this bathroom, finna take care of some business. I'm like, what's finna happen up in here? I'm in there. Now I'm over by the wall, all these urinals, all these stalls. And he goes, get that trash can. Told Brother Daniel, get by the trash can. I said, oh man, I'm gonna see what happened to me. So I'm over here. And the warfare going on. And I heard the girl, Brother Daniel over the trash can. And it came up out of Brother Daniel and came towards me and hit the wall and splattered and slid down. I think I must have fainted. I don't know what happened. Oh, Lord, hold up. Hold up. No, this is the honest to God truth. When I did come to, my knees was feeble. I don't know what happened. I mean, you're talking about warfare. People hear about it, talk about it, but to experience or to see deliverance ministries where things are cast out of people. So I said to the minister, what happened? He said, well, when you came up on that floor and you ran and got us, the enemy was up here going to and from. He said, but when you went in the room, because your vessel had been swept clean, he said that the enemy, when it came out of Brother Daniel, tried to get back in you, but it couldn't get in you, so it splashed on the wall. And then I seen the brothers with the bags, they had them, and it was like something in the bag was trying. I said, what in the world is going on here? Now, I just left Harrisburg some months ago. What is this? I told you I got to experience warfare. I got to experience being a good steward over clothes, over food, learn how to discern and hear from God how to give, not just the needy, the greedy, but the needy. Hear from God before you do everything. In the Bible, before Jesus anything, he prayed to God. To hear from God. And so with that said, he explained to me about that. So then, everything's fine. I understand the purge and being sealed with the precious Holy Ghost. Okay, I get past that. Graduation come. I preach a sermon. Satan don't come at you with peanut butter when you like jelly. I remember being at the, I'm finna go home now. Most of those brothers there in that area had a plan of action. Some of them was even pastors. Had their own mega churches out of Atlanta. God had sent them back there just to sit for a while. Cause they had erred. They had erred. And they had sought there. Some of them had their own mega ministries. I was in touch with all these, but Ohio. I mean, just all over the world. Louisiana. And everybody was there for their own reason. And I remember leaving. They told my wife, he ain't gonna be the same way when he come back home. And, I remember going to the Minister Sills. God bless his soul. Man, a guy who reached out far beyond Houston, who kept in touch with me. And, getting out the airport and going to the back of the van to get my luggage. Opened the door, when I closed the door, it was a person, a woman standing there. He don't come at you with peanut butter when you like jelly. Some of y'all missing it. Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
I know. All right. The minister said, brother, 6-second rule. Amen. I learned how you have to be accountable. The Bible says walk circumspect. To guard your Lord. Don't put yourself in a situation where you don't have a witness. The enemy come at not you, but your anointing of what God has had for you to do. So you got to be very careful in your walk with God. He said, be ye separated, come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing. So we got to be very careful when you walk into what God has called you to do, even in your home, with your spouses, with your family. That you got to leave that. He got to be first. He's not going to share you with that. I had to learn all these lessons I'm trying to tell you. Some that some maybe not even heard today or would believe it. But this is what God allowed me. Why? My one pastor told me before this pastor conference. Why you think God took you to Houston? All them programs you've been in, but you had to go there for your deliverance. So I come back home. Kind of had the watermelon head. I was so happy to be saved. But I still was, you got to stay grounded. Got to stay humble. I'm trying to witness and tell my wife stuff. But not understanding that the union that God said he's married to the church, the bridegroom, he said that I had to learn that my wife and I complement one another. But we're on two different levels. She has an anointing on her life, and I have one on my life. But it's not for me to try to correct her and go because God is dealing with her. And I was at a place where I would try to always correct. Then I was messed up again because even in the rooms, I learned 12-step and 13-step. And 13-step is you never going nowhere by yourself. So in the ministry, I went back to over Hummel Street in Kennetini. To the crack house, I'm going to save the crack house. I went back in the devil's cabin, didn't come out. Man, I was so hurt when I did. I was so hurt. It was like somebody was ripping my heart out my body. I come back home to my wife. She said, what happened? I told her. She called Minister Seals. He was bitter. He was tough love. He said, well, look, brother. I'm called a bishop. And we'll see what happened. He said, here's the number. Call minister so-and-so under the bishop. He said, for you to call him. I called him after he called me back. He said, Brother Watts. That was his expression. Like he was happy. Brother Watts, what's going on? Man, I fell. I went back to my vomit. He said, brother, I could bring you back out of compassion. He said, but brother, watch the word that's in you. He said, rise, kill, and eat. He said, the devil should be running from you. And ever since then, I've been running for my life. I don't play in church. I do everything my hands find to do. I've been called holier than thou, loved ones, family members, and dropped off. I've been to church where clergy would even talk about, man, he live at the church. If nobody else is going to be, he going to be at the church. Want to make fun. But you know what? God delivered me. God delivered me. It was no recovering. It was no recovering. All the programs I've been in, since then I've been invited back to Roxbury, down in Shippensburg. Going in there, minister, evangelizing, because I once was a member there. I've been invited other places to give my testimony because it's what God delivered me from. I'm not recovering, I'm delivered. He took the desire, the taste, the smell, the craving. So I'm telling somebody here today. And I know it affects each and every one of us. If it ain't you or someone in your family, it's your neighbor. Don't give up on that person. My wife did not give up on me. God answers prayer. But you got to understand when God bring you through something, don't limit yourself to what you're going to do for God. Don't say you here and that's where you're going to be. Much is given, much is required. So every time I get to a place where my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I seek God's face, and He will grace me, and He is mercy, and He give me strength to carry on. Truly, that flesh comes back. Oh, you doing too much. You at the church. You doing this. Let somebody else do something. Oh, it comes. I'm human. But I've got to look at the greater good. If God be for me, He's more than the whole world against me. Nobody can get their glory. No program. No one person. Only Jesus Christ delivered me. And I didn't need no money. I didn't have no money. I didn't even have a church home. But my heart was right. How about Shaka? And ever since that day, I done went from crackhead to Elder Watts. I got ordained in 2013. First of all, I just went to church. And I was just so happy to praise and worship. I got hurt in church early. Because a minister that was praying, and he has a music ministry. Yeah, we was trying to find a church home, going to different churches. And I was just praising God. And I heard him say, it don't take all that. That was a clergy. I remember looking for a church home. And I couldn't go nowhere. Because I didn't have a church. So I had to make a contract with my wife. For 2 years, my wife came on my job to get my check. Oh, they used to laugh at me. But I didn't care. At least I know where the check was going. Oh, for 2 years I had to go through that. I couldn't drive. She had to take me. Everywhere I went, somebody had to take me. I had to humble myself and go through this. I had to have a plan of action, and I could not deviate from that plan. Because there was a consequence that I could lose my wife. My son's sitting back there. I remember one day we home, and we were talking some months, some years later. Oh, I'm going on 11 years now. And I said, y'all remember? My son said, Dad, we don't remember. We lived it. We seen you in the street. We had to be embarrassed by people talking and saying all manner of things about you and Mom. We know how you stole our money. We know how you didn't pay the rent. We know how it's one lie after another. We know how you stole our furniture. We know how you wrecked the car. We know that how you didn't even put our life in jeopardy. For people saying all manner of things of you in the street, and they gonna come at us. So now, I'm a spiritual advisor at Dauphin County. I have more than 3 felonies. I passed the 3 strikes you out. But God opened the door. See, for 6 years, I was with Mother Thelma Odessa Wright. God had me to be with Mother Wright because I remember going to one of her prayers. It's something how people can have prayer and people don't come. But I remember coming, Pastor Ross, you remember, and Mother Wright was up in some age. And more people would come to our house sneaking to get prayer than to come openly to the prayer that was granted for her in the house of prayer. And I remember sitting there, and after all the prayer, and she done prayed for people and intercede for their kids and all, everybody got up and left Mother sitting there. I said, whoa. I asked Pastor. From that point, for 6 years, I was to take Mother Wright, pick her up for prayer every first and third Saturday, and spend every Saturday with Mother Wright. I learned so much from that woman of God, from intercessory prayer. I'm still on the prayer line, 2 prayer lines. Right now to this day, I'm advisor at Dauphin County. I just received paperwork to be advisor at Camp Hill. God has opened doors that no man can close, and He closed doors that no man can open. God has blessed me and restored my family. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I have to stay in the Word. I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Wanda Hargrove. For one thing, amen, amen. Go, you can clap for amen. Because my wife and I belong to that ministry, and it's not a ministry where she let our gifts go. Your gift will make room for you. And she's one that's not trying to keep you in bondage, because who the Son set free is free indeed. Because I've been, see, people don't understand what I went through in Houston. I'm not sitting under anybody or taking anything. Because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. If you try to deviate from the Word of God and I feel it in my spirit, when God tells me go, I'm gone. You can't launch missiles across the pulpit at me, because I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. Never did. See, I came out the street, and I was hurt there, so I'm not going to come in your ministry for you to hurt me. My skin is not going to come in the ministry and be thin when it was tough out there. How I'm going to come in your ministry and allow you to say stuff, and you ain't doing nothing outside the four walls? I was in the street. People are still hurting. People are still bound. Strongholds. So God needs, he's raising up a nation of people that's going to go out into the hedges and the highway. He wants you to continue to give your testimony. You can't get to a place of a comfort zone and sit on your test. There's no purgatory. There's no retirement in God. Pastors and ministers are going on retirement and What? I can't thank God for touching my spirit. I made a vow to the Lord, and I'm not going to shortchange God. I didn't understand if I wasn't serving him, I was serving the devil. Then the Bible said you can't serve too. I was ignorant to that effect. So I got to serve God. I don't care what, no, I'm not validated by man. I don't have to do nothing to make you look or impress you. Because it's God. Only him. I exalt his name. I magnify his name. Only he gonna get this glory. Cause it was him that did it. So I'm gonna end my testimony. I thank God for my wife. Even to the day. And I tell you. And I tell you, saints. In the maturity and the growth of God, it's not a lifestyle. Life. At one time I said it's a lifestyle, not a style. It's one or the other, he told me. It's life. It's how you're living. Every day is a daily reprieve. We must die daily. Is it always good? No. Does he try to come? It starts in Jerusalem. Conflict. Even with me and my wife sometimes. But we're not no longer ignorant to Satan's devices. And it ain't about me. It never was been. But so many people that God has me to minister to and will watch me and be the example that they can follow, because if God done it from you, he can do it for me. So I thank God for that. I thank God that he allowed me to be intimate with him and fall in love with his word. I thank God for Pastor Melvin Weaver, who we hadn't even touched bases in some years. Before I came to get the tables, I came to get the fans. And I love his father. I love his spirit. It was never a change in tone in his voice. He was the same. On fire for God. So I don't know what God is doing in this hour. But Lord, whatever you do, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Because the saints, we're living in that last and evil day. This dispensation period, grace is running out. The Bible says this is the age of the seventh church. Lukewarm and lackadaisical. People are turning to everything but God. It was more people. I'm an Eagle fan. I cried. But it's more people at the Eagle game than in church. Itchy ears, lovers of themselves, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. If you love God, you love God. Let God be God. But don't shake and jive. Because God said, I know your thoughts are far off. I know your intent. You can't pull this on God. You might have pulled this in the world. You might can fool people, but you can't fool God. So I thank God for this time, and I hope someone was blessed by it. That was part of my testimony. And thank you, Pastor Weaver. Thank you, Pastor Wanda Hargrove, for your support. Thank you, Pastor Ross. Thank you, my wife, Redeem. Thank all you guys for your attentive ears just to hear my testimony. Bless you.
Now, since you have the anointing to set the captive free, I want you to pray over all of us right now, because all of us have areas in our life that we need to be set free of. How many can say amen? Amen. In Jesus' name. And would you lead us in prayer? Amen. That we be set free, amen, from those areas that are holding us back to be all what God wants us to be.
Yes, God. Amen.
Amen.
Join hands.
Amen. Amen.
In agreement. In agreement.
Glory.
In agreement.
And those of you who have hats on, can you please take them off in reverence of God? Those of you who have hats on, could you please take them off? Those of you who have hats on, please, in reverence of God. God bless you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Glory, hallelujah. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Most gracious and wonderful God. Lord, you are the one that's high and lifted up. You are the exalted one. You are the one that's, oh God, we thank you that your name is excellent in all the land. Lord, we come to you, God, humbly as we know how today. We thank you for this divine moment, God. We thank you for the gathering of the brethren. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your, oh, Holy Spirit, and your anointing afresh this morning. Father, you heard the request of the pastor. God, we ask that you would come down, in the name of Jesus, release your ministers and warring angels right now to break every chain. Oh, God, that your word, God, dip it into the blood and cut every biblical cord that try to attach itself to God's people. Get off of our loved ones. Get off of our children. Get off of us. Get off our ministries. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now. God, we so notice under your authority that you have given us, God, that every witch, every warlock, every demonic principality, in the name of Jesus, God, right now, Lord, oh, God, destroy the cursed root, Lord. You have no authority. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Baba Shaka. Our Holy Ghost will arrest you right now in the name of Jesus. I serve notice right now. The blood of Jesus come against you. You can't have our children. You can't have us. You can't have our finances. You can't have our joy. You can't have our peace. You can't have our deliverance. You can't have our salvation. We are victorious. We are triumphant. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So Lord, those that are under the sound of my voice, thank you for your grace and your mercy. For your grace is sufficient. But have mercy today, Lord. Lord, not just in this room, but from the White House to the outhouse. Lord, we need you right now. Oh, God, your people need you. You told us, Lord, if my people, which were called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, oh, God, and pray and turn from their wicked ways, oh, God, then I will hear from heaven. Oh, God, forgive the sin and heal the land. Lord, we ask you to remember our president. We ask you to remember those even at their school in Parkland, Florida. We ask you to remember the young man who carried out that, oh God, that terrorist act. We ask you to remember those, God, that are yet homeless in nursing homes and widow women in this time of bereavement. God, we ask that your blood, because the blood still works. That dunamis power, that miraculous power, that Holy Ghost power fall upon us, God. We ask that men and women raise up and walk under the authority that you have given us. That you said we could call those things that be not as though they were. We can speak to our circumstance and situation. We can decree and declare a thing. We can bind and loose some things. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority in our homes. You have no authority in our marriages. You have no authority in our ministries. In the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He reigns supreme. He's a sovereign God. And he lasts from everlasting to everlasting. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. 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 There's a Holy Ghost connection here with ministries. The Lord said there's a birthing place here for an anointed ministry in Harrisburg to continue to go forth in Jesus' name. Now, hallelujah. son,
right? Son? Okay, hey, well, one moment here. Hang tight, just for a moment. Son, what's your name, sir?
Melvin.
You're Melvin, too. Melvin Jr. Hey, there's Melvins in the house here. Melvin, tell me what you think about this testimony here today. Your dad.
It's awesome. It's an awesome testimony. Through and through, I've been able to hear it, and I've been able to watch him, grow from that and bloom from when it first began as a small little sprout of a story, and now, a sprout of a testimony. Now it's more like a document. It's more like his banner. You know what I mean? Like his bloodstained banner that he's carrying.
Yeah.
I know that along with it being something that, God has carried him through, that this is his victory, proclamation.
Oh, I like that. This is victory proclamation. That's the new title of your speaking engagement, my dear brother. Now, dear wife, what do you have to say about this today?
To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. I truly thank God today, he has brought my husband a mighty long way, and not just my husband, but, myself and my family, how God has restored. And as he said, we all have lived it, but God knows what he's doing, and he allowed us to go through that for such a time as this. And so in saying that, he continues to strengthen me. Because just as God has delivered him, there's always the residue. Mm-hmm. There's always a little residue there that, where the enemy will try to come in if he can. But that's why we got to stay plugged in. Mm-hmm. You got to stay prayed up, and you got to stay before God. Because the devil, we already know. We don't give no place to him, but he's seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. So, I just thank God how he just continues to use us for his will and for his glory. So to God be the glory, because he has done great things and he's going to continue a great work in us.
Come on.
Now, this is just amazing. Pastor, what do you have to say about having this family a part of your church?
It's just awesome. To God, and only to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. We are all one. And I tell you, I can truly speak truth today that I have watched this young man and his lovely wife, and they are models of Christians. They love. As he said before, when you're looking for him, where is he? At that church, doing something in that church. And we are so grateful and so thankful, not only for them, but for all of God's children. And I tell you one thing, at Redeem United, love abounds in that house. We preach love, we live love, I'm telling you. And it is love that will conquer anything that you need to go through. And to God, and only to God. And when things come our way, guess what you say? But God. Nobody but God. Nobody but God can do the things that we see. We thank God. Hallelujah. He's just not talking, but he lives what he talks about. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy because you know what I say? He may be an elder, but let me tell you something. I was just sharing with brother. If you can't wear the towel, you'll never wear the title. What is the towel? It's the humility that God has given to us. And I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for the people of God. How can you lead unless you know how to follow? So we thank God, and we thank God for you. We love all of you because you are my brother and my sister. To God, and only to God be the glory.
Now, what was that phrase? If you can
wear the tile,
you can never wear the title. That is a profound statement. And I'm going to use that for myself, too. I better keep on wearing the towel. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Have we been blessed here today? Now, there's a basket there as you're going out. If you want to bless Elder Watts in his ministry, what? Because God's going to open up some more doors. My dear brother, man. He just called me last night. I mean, he just wanted to get with me. And Brother Nashan, thank you for just being here today. I didn't realize if it's going to go to this level, but let the Holy Ghost just do it. Let the Holy Ghost just do it. Sunday night, we have...